This is HMS All Access.
Welcome to HMS All Access, your behind-the-scenes look at the greatest morning show in the world. I'm your host, Charlie Wolf, and on this week's episode, John and I discuss our significant others pointing out all of our flaws. The gang weighs in on whether or not they would pay it forward. John discusses scapegoat Santa. We've got another edition of This Week in HMS History, and John gives you the do's and don'ts at office Christmas parties. But first, Brady and John discuss keeping things from an ex-girlfriend.
You know, the dish thing just made me remember. I've got an ex dish still in the cabinet. I've got a dish that was from a...
Well, Brady, that's going to happen with you. You're going to get silverware and all sorts of pots and pans from other people.
Does Ronnie know?
No.
Oh, there's
oh,
a...
Yeah, see, that's
you've been
right.
using it.
I just looked at the 8 o'clock. We're okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a great dish.
What do you mean?
What is it?
You didn't...
It's a, you know, casserole dish.
Yeah, but you weren't... a dish, were you? It's
no.
Not like Ronnie's going to get too upset about
it. No,
okay,
no.
Good.
You know how
look
women
at
are.
I don't think they should care about that. You got a woman who cares about that.
I don't know.
You got a woman who cares about that, call me up. I'll break up with her because that's a lunatic.
Whose dish is this?
Oh, some girl brought it over 20 years ago.
Oh, it's a sex dish.
Bring it up to her tonight. We'll see.
I will. You know what we're eating out of? That's my old p***y dish.
I bet what'll happen is Ronnie will go over there, pull the dish out, and piss on it, and then throw it in the garbage.
Wow. Well, that's the Southern Illinois way.
You nailed it.
Yep.
Woo. What would the worst reaction be?
That.
Yeah.
Not even caring?
Yeah.
No, pissing on it is worse than not caring. I don't want a woman
to...
I'm not that insecure. Indifference is fine when it comes to a casserole dish.
You like this dish, huh?
Yeah.
You like it, huh?
Do you think this dish is prettier than my dish? Do you think it's hotter? Do you think it cooks more evenly? You think it's lighter and younger? What the hell's going on here? I'll show you what I think of this dish. You're going to piss on it, right? Eric was right. I like the indifference. I prefer indifference.
That's amazing. You remember. I would never know where my casserole dishes come from. I could have several.
What about the ones you got now? Where'd you pick them up?
I don't know. I know I've got some from
the
first
ones,
marriage.
John.
We have dishes from...
Oh, yeah. You haven't told Megan?
No, she knows. She was eating off them when she got there the first time. Didn't go out and replace all the dishes.
Yeah, we combined ours.
I
was. That's kind of how it was. I had this dish.
Never in love with the dishes. Yeah. I never f***ed the dish.
Yeah.
It never had anything to do with my emotion.
Well, dishes to you and dishes to Brady are...
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. Brady broke up with a girl. The dish stayed.
And that actually entered your mind, probably.
Yeah.
What about that casserole dish? If she leaves, the dish goes. I'll tolerate her through the holidays.
She called. She wanted the dish back, and I said, come and get it.
All right, so... All right, good stuff. Thanks, John. Are we done?
Let's go, Tart.
Let's go. Okay, that's great. Brady, you have a casserole dish from an ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
And John, your stance was, why does it matter what stuff I have from an ex?
Doesn't.
Is there a line there? Is there something that is like, you should not keep this?
Sex swing.
Probably those
might
go.
Might be a tough sell.
You could wash that, right?
Well, you can wash, but to let them know this is the sex swing my ex and I had.
You know what's funny, though? That is interesting you say that, because a sex swing, probably right. Nobody would be, but your mattress is the same thing. You're fucking like all the other whores you fucked in that mattress, and then you married
dozens.
That one. Yeah.
I always throw it the other way around. If there are certain items, I'm trying to think of what item.
Jewelry.
Like a necklace or a ring.
A necklace or a ring or something. I think that's something that has to go.
Yeah.
So when you do break up, though, is there anything that you should try to go out of your way to keep?
Anything valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's what divorce is. That's why everybody gets in fights. The things with the most value become what you want to keep.
You get the arguments on the ring and jewelry.
Christmas ornament.
Okay, Christmas ornament.
Christmas ornament. That was the one thing that I still have a few.
I want to take inventory on
that. Yeah, I still have a few from my first marriage. So
I've got one. I remember an ex gave me an ornament, and we still hang on a tree. It's Santa 69 and a female elf.
I have two faggot elves.
One at a time.
You
know what?
On your daughter's
that one
mattress.
Away.
It's on Kirby's mattress.
But what about, you brought up the dogs, John. You brought up the dogs. Yeah. I'm diverting from this conversation right now.
Elves.
No, I'm getting. We're moving away from this conversation. This is going to derail everything.
I got to sell that mattress.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that.
Damn it, Brady. You started this all.
Yep.
When you had the dogs,
yeah.
some of those dogs you got with Geneva. Oh, yeah. Like, Megan didn't care at all. That wasn't, I mean, they're dogs, all right?
You're
not going to get rid of
inheriting
dogs.
Inheriting a dog. Yeah, because you got Chili and Lexi.
Chili, Lexi, and Katie.
Yeah. Those three dogs hated Megan.
The difference was I kind of won those in the divorce. And so the dogs became mine. Had there been visitation, it probably would have been a real wrench. But I do have in the attic, there's this box of old stuff from my bedroom from when I was with my mom at my mom's house.
Ew.
Yeah, fuck my mom. No, and a bunch of letters from her. How my dick was so much like my dad's.
Please. No. What's wrong with you two?
I took it out of her house and put it at my house because it was clogging up her plumbing. I'm like, there's no reason for my stuff. And in there, I just like, oh, crap, I forgot I had that.
That reminds me, like, my dad, I remember when my sister and I were kids, my dad had this chest of old stuff from his, like, youth, and he had a bunch of yearbook pictures where...
The letters, none of them were really... I can't walk for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what your mom was thinking?
No, please.
Man, I know how that girl's pussy felt that night.
Okay, we're done. Brady.
My pussy got wrecked. I'm done with you. Here to here in this shoebox size area.
No, Brady, you're done.
Keep it rolling.
I seriously, I can't do it with both of you in the same room. You're terrible.
That's what your mama said.
You just instigate each other.
You are listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
Earlier this week, John talked about Megan pulling out stray eyebrow hairs and pointing out his flaws, and I realized that I was having the same sort of issues with my girlfriend, and I decided to have a nice little discussion with John about our partners pointing out all of our flaws.
I think they all do it. I think the ones that care pick you apart, and the ones that don't. Because my ex-wife didn't do it, and turned out she didn't like me that much. So, I bet she's picking the eyebrows off that guy she fucked instead of me.
Wow, that got dark there. Okay. Well, so you think it's a good thing, though?
No, I hate it. It's awful. Though. If we ever turned the tables on them and picked a crazy eyebrow off their face or said, wow, that's the reddest zit you've ever had, they'd cry. You wouldn't talk to them. Kiss blowjobs goodbye from them.
You know, I got home from lacrosse practice last night,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing Mary comes, I come in and I give her a kiss, and she's like, oh, you're stinky.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. That's what I wanted to hear.
If I take my shoes off after a workout, which I have to do, I come in and pop my shoes. Oh, God. All right. Calm down. That smell. I got to leave the room. She works out all the time. Smells like shit, like 60% of the time after a workout. And I walk by, I'm like, ooh, somebody's a little ripe.
Oh, that's mean. You're just mean. You don't have to say it.
I'm like, good. I thought we were in the trust tree. No?
No.
I thought we did this. As far as smell, I'm sure I do sometimes, but as far as smelling, my first girlfriend ever had a reputation of eating ass in high school. Like she would lick your butt.
Rim jobs.
Rimmies, yeah. And so when I first started like hanging out with her, we weren't doing anything yet. I thought tonight might be the night. I scrubbed my ass, like corn cobbed it. It was inside out clean. And I've always kept that. For the potential of, you never know when you're going to get your ass licked. I mean, grandma never tells you that. Always wear clean underwear. Really what she's saying is, you never know when you're going to get your ass licked. Keep that thing spotless. So I always did, and I carried that through, and I think that that's because of her. So my cleanliness factor is almost always good, unless it's a workout. And then I go and scrub and scrub and scrub, because I could come home to an ass licking. You never know.
You never know. Never. Well, see, the problem I have is, like, we share a bathroom, right? If I go take a shit in the bathroom, like, we have that stuff to spray in before so it doesn't smell. I'll light candles. I do everything to not smell.
The poopery.
And I'll step out, and she'll be like, stinky. And I'm like,
See, now Megan
I'm trying.
And I don't shit when we're at home at the same time.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, which is like, if you have to shit, the other person has to leave.
Yeah, the other thing is when she knows when it's happening, because, like, I will start lighting candles, and she'll be like, oh, no, here it comes.
We go.
It's like, ugh.
You just don't need to be reminded.
You can't be even stealthy about it. Yeah, I don't really need to know.
They constantly, like, let you know. Oh, man,
you're disgusting.
Yeah, you're gross.
But it's one of those things, I think. It's just let them have it. It's the pulling
eyebrow hair while I'm driving's got to stop.
Well, that's dangerous.
Yeah,
that's for a whole different reason.
Yeah, that's terrible. And I've got one weird super blonde hair that grows out of the side of my nose. Oh, and hair on my ears, my outer ears.
Oh, yeah.
She'll reach over and start pulling them. I'm like, what? She goes, you got a crazy one. She sees them all. It's fucking annoying, frankly.
You're listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
It's time for another edition of This Week in HMS History, when we turn back the clocks and dig into our archives and find a clip from way back when. This week, the clip comes from 2006, when Holmberg and the guys did some investigative reporting on peanut cracking. Take a listen.
It takes approximately 850 peanuts to make a regular 18-ounce jar of peanut butter.
1,800?
18-ounce jar.
Oh,
850 peanuts. Well, I figured it'd be more than that.
Who's going through the trouble of cracking those peanuts?
It's a great question.
They got an automated peanut cracker.
I just picture a bunch of kids sitting there.
Cracking. Little Korean kids.
You get the 7 cents an hour cracking nuts. Oh, so many nuts to crack. I go crazy. I go nuts myself. Cracking nuts all day. You're cracking nuts faster. Oh, they can't crack nuts fast enough. We need 800.
That's not. How do they? They don't have handheld crack nuts.
That's what I picture in my head.
Yeah, but you know how proud that kid is of his job?
Oh.
What do you do? I'm a nut cracker.
I'm a nut cracking machine. It's just a sweatshop of nut crackers.
Oh, cannot crack a couple tenner. Couple tenner this. Cracking nuts.
The guy cracked nuts for 10 years, and he runs in, gets to the United States for the first time, and he meets the first guy. My name's Skippy.
He shoots him.
Hey, I'm Skippy.
To you, Skippy. If I could pull trigger with a crusty old cracking nut hands.
Hands are all curled up. Yeah, who's cracking the nuts? Eric, you make a great point there. There is a room of little Korean kids cracking nuts right now, and I want to put a stop to it. All right. I'm going to read about it. Toledo just found me a website. It's 701
American.
In the morning. Peanut Butter Shellers Association of America. It's in Albany, Georgia. The Peanut Shellers Association. The PSA.
Call them.
Yeah, you can call. We got to call them. I'm calling them. Right freaking now.
Hey, calling them right now.
Yeah. It's 9 o'clock
it's
in
Georgia.
In Nut Town.
888-2508. All right, we're going to find out if we got a room full of Chinese kids or Koreans or what the hell.
Special code.
Here we go. Eric, you've raised such
American Peanut Shellers. This is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. My name's John Holmberg. You're on live on KUPD in Phoenix. Is that okay?
Not really.
Oh, come on. Can you just talk? I just have a question about peanut shelling. We're having a debate on the radio, and we found you guys online. Is it okay? Just a quick question.
Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Oh, you scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, you're going to get the PR person.
The PR guy who's just, like, been asleep for the last... Somebody got a question for you.
About shelling peanuts? You're kidding me.
Sir.
Yes.
The person you need to talk to is not in.
No, I can't just ask you a quick question?
No, sir, but thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Want some cola fruit punch?
What's the secret?
What a
You're
bitch.
Telling me there aren't Koreans shelling peanuts now? You're telling me there's no conspiracy in the peanut sheller world? Telling you what, we just got shut down by the peanut shellers because we know what's going on.
Now, this is investigative reporting
this
right here.
This is Geraldo
stuff.
She
completely
here.
Nutted you.
She totally nutted me. I got kicked right in the peanuts, kids. The newsroom is abuzz here at KUPD as we are somehow or another
investigating live.
Somehow or another breaking the peanut news of the world.
Who's here?
Tom Brokaw here, coming back from retirement.
TB!
To do more peanut breaking news live on NBC. Eric, your simple question of how do they shell it has been answered by one man, John Holmberg.
Who?
John Holmberg. This boy born in Lowell, Indiana.
You're drooling a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'd let you know.
Brings us a story of coops and peanut shells from Georgia. Why?
Why?
We don't know. What's being hidden in your peanut farms? Find out tonight on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams. And now back with me, Tom Brokaw.
HMS All Access. HMS All Access. Podcast 1.
I was in the Starbucks line the other day in the drive-thru, and this person wouldn't go ahead of me. And so there's a big gap. I'm like, move up! I started yelling, you know,
sure.
Get the hell up, you know.
It's classy stuff.
So the
you paid for your
they
time.
Paid for my stuff.
Yeah.
Hey. It was I know it was one of those Christmases. Obviously they didn't hear me cussing them out.
No,
maybe
they
did. No, maybe
they did. They did, and they said, hey,
watch this.
Here's $25 for the guy behind me. Why don't you in whatever he ordered.
I don't, if they were still shouting this, I don't need your charity.
Yeah.
The goddamn iced tea, it's like $3.
I could pay for my own jackass.
You were that guy, Eric.
I want to pay for the guy
well, that's
behind
funny,
me.
Though.
I want to pay for the jackass screaming behind me.
No and way they heard it.
It's the holidays.
And I want you to fart in it. And I want you to spit in it.
want you to rub your little dirty paws inside that drink. I want to give it.
All I'll give you $50
right now. I did all this. My daughter's on the back.
Of course. Well, you know, she's going to get it. She's going to get the O'Connell vibe eventually.
Oh, it's going to happen.
My buddy out the window in the pasture side. Come on!
My buddy asked me, you cuss in front of her? Well, I can't really stop it. Sometimes.
I can't shut that up.
I can't stop myself.
Daddy, move your truck. You piece of
Hey, for my stuff, I don't need your garbage charity.
I got a job, mother.
You should have pulled him over. All right, you wanted to say thank you and just toss the coffee in his face.
I ain't no charity case.
Screw you.
I just look like one. Learn to order.
If you guys are in line at the drive-thru and one of those chains start happening where people pay for the person behind them and it's the whole pay-it-forward thing, do you guys keep the chain going or do you just cut it off and accept the free stuff?
I would say cancel that order. Like, I'd be so suspicious of what just happened ahead of me. I like to be in charge of my order. Like, if someone at a restaurant said, hey, I got your dinner, and he comes over and he's like, I just bought that for you, that's great. I still got my thing. But the guy in front of me is up to something, especially in the drive-thru because Eric was being a dick to the guy. You don't know that guy doesn't have a pile of money. He's like, here's $100, Starbucks kid. Throw a rat shit in that drink and tell the guy behind him I paid for his drink. Well, you got it.
I probably would accept the drink and then eventually pay it forward somewhere. I might not do it right there on that spot. But, yeah, what you're talking about is breaking the line.
Yeah, breaking the line.
I'm okay with breaking the line.
Yeah, I've done it my whole life. I don't think I've ever paid it forward. But, Brady, you've had to have done it at one point in time. Have you paid it forward with that?
Too expensive, man.
I know you're a cheap ass, but
hey, that's what John said. Okay, Toledo, what do you think?
On the one hand, yeah, it's nice. But on the other hand, it's a pain in the ass for everybody who wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. Because now you're caught, and if you don't do it, you're a jackass. And if you keep it going, you were going to pay anyway, so I get keeping it going. But then you're just paying anyway.
It's like forced charity.
It's just, yeah, you're just paying anyway.
See, now this is the pay it forward story I've got, Charlie. This is why I'll never do it again. The very first day I owned a car, we went to the Salt River. It was a Jeep, CJ7. And I took it to the Salt River with my friend Mark, and he's like, got to park it. Two front wheels in the water like all the other trucks do because that makes us cool. Like, you got it. So I put my two front wheels in the water, and it happened to be a little too deep, and the Jeep just slid in the water, dunked the whole front end in the water. So this dude, fast thinking, gets his toe strap out, gets it on the back of my Jeep, and tugs me out. And I'm like, I don't have any cash to give. I'm like, you just saved my ass. Thank you so much. He goes, yeah, you know what? Next time someone's in trouble, just help him out. Deal. 1 week later, I'm coming back from softball practice. Same guy's in the car with me, my buddy Mark, and we're in Gilbert. And we're driving along, and this guy's stranded on the side of the road. I'm like, you know what? This is that moment. Mark's like, I agree. So we pull over, get the guy in the car, and he comes in, and he's just like, oh, man, I got no gas. My tire's all fucked up. You guys are awesome little farm boys for helping out. I'm like, farm boys? What's he talking about? So great. Can you take me to Circle K? Need to make a phone call? Then take me back to the car? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. We'll get you there, man. And he goes, I really appreciate it. He's really over. I really appreciate this, man. Well, I don't know how to pay you, man. You guys do coke? You do coke? And I'm like, no, we don't do any coke. You want some cocaine? Bag of cocaine.
Oh,
I'm like, no coke. Put the coke down. No coke. We drop him off at the Circle K, like miles from his car. This is before Gilbert was built up, so it was just all fields. Drop him off. Mark looks at me and I look at him like, go. Just go. We left that dude 10 miles farther from his car than he started. And I'm like, never again. I'm never helping anyone again. I almost got arrested for having cokehead in the back of my car. So I don't like to pay forward. I don't know what's going on. I'm always suspicious and skeptical of everyone's behavior. It's probably most of the time nice, but I don't like it. I like to be even. I think that's the best way our society lives. Everybody's even up.
You're listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
Christmas party, we got it coming up here this weekend.
Yep.
Do you have like certain rules?
I don't know, like what rule you mean.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, getting too drunk, hooking up with a coworker.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what kind
called
of stuff are you allowed to do and not to do?
You can do whatever you want. Just respect the house. Because we had people banging on my washer and dryer one year.
Which nice.
One of the promo knobs was banging some girl's friend. I was fine with it, but it was kind of classless. And then, yeah, just handle your shit. When you go to a Christmas party, the problem is always the guy who doesn't handle his shit doing something stupid. And it kind of wrecks Christmas parties for the future. Be a responsible drunk. Don't dry hump the dog. Don't tweak the nipples of another person's wife.
Wait, that's happened to you before?
What? Eric did it at a Christmas party a couple years ago.
Oh, no.
He tried to grab one of our sales manager's wife's boobs and twist her nipples.
What a guy.
He was shit-faced. Well, don't be an Eric.
Is Eric it's allowed to drink at these parties
nope,
still?
Not at Tripp's house. He's not allowed to drink.
When did that ban?
Last year at the Christmas party when I started yelling that the bar was closed. But it was just for him. And Eric was like, I can't believe anybody else believe that this bar's closed. Literally, I'm ordering a drink while he's yelling, they closed the bar. I'm like, can you believe it? And I'm getting it. I'm like, can I get two more of those too? And the lady's pouring them. And then every time he'd turn, he's like, give me a beer. He's like, it's closed. We're all ordering drinks. And Dummy's like, they closed the bar. What kind of party is this? Just for you, Dummy, because you can't handle your shit. So, and then the other thing is like, you know, drugs and stuff. I've been to a couple Christmas parties where somebody breaks out the weed, and that's fine. And so long as the owner of the place is okay with it, that's good. But then it escalated quickly where someone had an eight ball.
Oh, wow.
And that got out, and that changed the game completely. Because now we're talking about a federal offense of people like, you know.
You want to really get a party going.
Yeah, and so you don't want that rolling around in there and getting comfortable with that too.
No. Well, what's the rule on bringing a date? Like,
to a party?
Do you have to, yeah, like how long do you have to be dating someone or in a relationship?
Good question.
Right?
I think the rule is if you've been dating someone out of a marriage and you're actually with her for a while, I think about 7 or 8 months of like, okay, we're keeping this one. But when, like, if you're just dating a girl for a couple weeks and you want to drag her to the Christmas party, nobody likes meeting new people at the Christmas party. Your uncle brought two people to Christmas party.
I was going to bring that up. Like, he was very proud of that on the air the other day that I brought two girls to the Christmas party.
He wore a leather jacket.
Oh, God.
And he stood in the hallway with this tall girl and they made out and Brady acted like he didn't know anybody. It was the funniest arrogance I've ever seen come off your uncle in my life. Make out. I said, what's up, Brady?
Yeah.
He wasn't talking. He was the coolest kid in the school. He just made out with this girl up against the wall in the hallway of my house. And people would have to like walk around them and go to the bathroom. And they just made out nonstop. But then they just strutted around the room like they were bigger than the room. It was great. And then we teased him. He goes, that never happened. I'm like, Brady. Everyone at the party said, what's with Brady not talking to anybody? He's just making out with that chicken, dry humping her in the hall. And when you walk over and you're like, hey, Brady, you want to go out in the back and say,
hey, I'll be out in a second, man.
I was like, who is this
guy? If I've
guy?
Got time for you.
But yeah, the dating thing's tough. Bringing some chick to the party is a little bit weird. Like wives count and stuff like that, but just some random chick you drug in.
We're also going to be judged by who you bring, too. Like
huge.
If you bring an asshole, you're going to be
judged.
Oh,
you're an asshole.
Yeah.
You're the asshole who brought the asshole.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that makes
slippery
us
slope.
All assholes for inviting Eric, then.
Oh, yeah. No, Eric being part of the workforce makes everyone on earth an asshole. Most of the time, a Christmas party is like an awkward blowjob.
Okay.
It's enjoyable, but you kind of want it to be over also.
Oh, the Hatchimals.
The Hatchimals are going nuts.
I get the Nintendo.
Guy standing in the parking lot with the news girl, tears running down his face.
I have my faith in humanity restored. I was in line here. My six-year-old daughter, and he holds up the bag with a Hatchimal in it.
He got one.
My six-year-old daughter got it because a guy came up and said after, he's like, I didn't have what I wanted. He gives me his number, and it was 23, which was the last Hatchimal. So here I am, and they're saying, and my daughter is going to love me. And I'm like, oh, this poor divorced man, because he is so worried his kids are going to hate him. He got up at 5:30 on a Sunday to go to the, and right there in front of him, they said he put the sign out. The misspelled sign, by the way, Toys R Us, nice work.
They put the sign that the Hatchimals were sold out. And the guy comes out and gives me the number.
He's sobbing, and I'm like, man, $540 you can buy a Hatchimale on the,
oh my God,
on the Webbies right
now. Freaking stuffed animal.
$540. You're going to break your neck. You're going to spend $200 on a Hatchimal. You're going to bust ass. You're going to feel great. You're going to be heavy breathing. Wrap it up. And she's going to go, thanks, Santa.
Exactly.
You get no credit for it.
Am I a bad father if I don't get that? Screw that.
You're a smart father if you're like, this one's from Daddy.
Oh, no, I did that.
Don't give Santa the hard gifts. Santa gets the easy, and then you write, I got you a couple things, too, there. Caitlin, here you go.
Whatever your name is.
Whenever we call you. Here you go. K, baby K. And she opens it up, and there you go. The Hatchimals. Oh, this guy's got it figured out. He said, my six-year-old told me he wants Hatchimales for Christmas. I told him to go f*** himself.
Perfect.
There you go. And the people are nuts. You're all nuts. Your kids are not that important to you, or shouldn't be. That you shouldn't turn and go, nope, there weren't any. Santa didn't get you one. And you know why? Remember that day that you threw that orange juice? Remember that?
Remember.
That
remember.
Did it. That was your Hatchimale day.
Your kids should be important to you. Just
not that important.
Maybe not in that regard.
Not that important.
That's what, why are they not important if I don't get a damn Hatchimal?
That's what I'm saying. You think that your value drops if your kid doesn't get a Hatchimal.
The kid doesn't even know you do it in the
first place.
Rolling Stone said it. You can't always get what you want.
Exactly right.
Get what you need.
You can try sometimes. You just might find. You get what you need. But that's when then you end up crying on Channel 3. My son is going to like me more than that bitch wife.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's divorced dad who gets him once every 2 weeks. Who I got him a Hatchimal.
I don't know what it is, but I know he's going to love me more than you, snatch.
Scapegoat Santa. You said it, like, blame Santa. Yeah. You know, like, oh, you didn't get that because Santa didn't give it to you, and that's your fault. And then also, give the best gifts from you.
From you. We don't use Santa properly at all. Santa was invented as leverage against your kid's behavior. And now he is the be-all, end-all of wishes. In the beginning, same as Jesus. Jesus is the wishmaker, too. Santa and Jesus have the exact same history. So they used to have Krampus. He would come and tie kids to chairs and, like, interrogate them on things they'd done wrong. They used to use the elves and Krampus and Santa to scare the living fuck out of kids for 11 months so they didn't screw up, so you didn't have to keep an eye on them 24/7. Now Santa is the wish granter, and kids aren't afraid of him. If you use Santa with leverage as a fear-based, oh, well, I guess the Hatchimals are out because you're not getting one now. Santa saw you do that. It's August. Sorry. You lost the biggest prize with this one. You don't get anything.
And 365 then, Santa.
Right. Santa pulls it back. Now, if you choose to say, you know what, Santa didn't get you the Hatchimal, but we did because we think you made good. It's like, oh, you guys are awesome. You're as good as Santa to your kids. How are people like, well, I just want the magic to live. Fuck that. Santa brings two prizes a year, the big ones. He buys the big ones, and then it pulls back with every fuck up the kid has. Oh, man. And then you write fake letters. I got this today. You're going to want to read this. Dear Billy, the thing with the wagon and the broken window, you dumb little, sorry, can't get you the best prize you asked for this year, Santa. And Santa sends a that's one off the list letter from the North Pole. Your kids will be, all of them will be angels. They'll be off the fucking drugs. And then when they stop believing in Santa's legitimacy, then you religious folks can use Jesus the exact same way.
They basically do.
The
devil is the Krampus.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. They have the Krampus Festival coming up here in Norway.
Eesh.
And it's a big, giant parade in like 70 below zero, not earth temperatures, of people dressed up as the devil from Christmas to scare kids. It's awesome. And that's how it was originally intended. Oh, the original Santa was so much better. That's why Trump's president. We're going to make Christmas great again.
Christmas is going to be great again?
We're going to get Santa back. We're going to have him start stealing shit from your kids again. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Kids should be, like, afraid to sit on Santa's lap. Like, I remember my sister and little brother crying their eyes out when they went to go sit on Santa's lap, and I imagine I did, too.
Make it militant. Make it fucking militant. All right, you buck up. Santa's here. Don't be an idiot. And then the kid goes... And get up there and ask for your one thing and go. We should dress Santa in like a general's outfit with the hat because he's, you know, got aviation clearance and all that stuff. And
oh, yeah, he flies. I guess that's true.
He flies over all the borders. Like, he's got clearance to go everywhere. It's amazing no one's ever shot at him. Not once.
You'd think like Iran, I would like pop a missile up there.
One of the Muslim countries would be like, fuck this shit. Because he's going down there, but he got to go around.
I feel like he skips those countries.
He does. He skips them.
That's it for this episode of HMS All Access. For more replays of Holmberg's Morning Sickness and other great podcasts, you can check out podcastone.com or you can download the Podcast One app. And for all things 98KUPD and Holmberg's Morning Sickness, you can go to 98KUPD.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.